Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Head to Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to another edition of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Mary, good morning. Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Denny. It's been a while since I've been on this show. It's a whole new intro.
Yeah, it really is. It's surprising all of us, as a matter of fact. Yes, it has been a while since we've spoken with you. It's good to have you back on this holiday season. And as usual, we always welcome our listeners to join in on the conversation. I know, and I kind of joke about it, but here we are with 25. We've eked out another degree. It's 26 now, the new temperature reading. 26. But we still talk lawns and gardens. Is there ever a time in your career, Mary, when you, doesn't matter the weather, you're always talking something about green and growing stuff?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And this time of year, you know, in the dead of winter is when I think about educational opportunities. We don't have to be outside working, but there are lots of things inside. And actually, there are, three things that I wanted to talk about. The deadlines are coming up.
For what?
That's right. So we, you know, of course, Teresa is on the show as a expert, a master gardener. We talk a lot about the Master Gardener program, of course, but this time of year, you can sign up to take the same class the Master Gardeners take without volunteering, and we call that the Pro Hort class. The deadline to sign up is January 9th, so that's coming up. If you're interested in that, you can find out more information on the Arboretum's website. So Pro Hort, that's called. It's all totally online. The same class the Master Gardeners take, but you don't volunteer.
So I think Pro I'd Hort like to do that.
Yeah, you could do that. Now, there is a price to it. It isn't free, but it's something that it's lifelong learning for anybody that wants to do that. And because it's virtual, it's online, you can do that. The other thing that's happening is January 14th is the deadline for the Garden in a Box program. This is the community gardening program that the Minnesota Horticulture Society does for schools, community groups, even families that want to get together, to get a garden in a box. This is a raised bed garden that they provide, and you can sign up for that. That is a free community gardening effort that the Hortus Society has done for many years now. But there is an application process, and that is due January 14th. And then the third opportunity is many communities that have community gardens, like Plymouth, where I live. The sign-up is coming up in early January for the Plymouth Community Garden. If you live in your city, you should check about community gardens, because often the sign-up is now in the dead of winter for the garden in the summertime. So the educational opportunities are out there. You can find out more about ProHort at the Arboretum website. The Garden in a Box is at northerngardener.org, or if you type Garden in a Box, that will come up. And then Community Gardens is your own local city.
I'd like to check on all of those. And I wanted to ask you about the ProHort, those particular classes. Is that, you said it's online, so there's no time. Can I take my time with that, or what's the deal?
Yes, you can take your time with that. That usually... when the master gardeners do it online, it's paced out, I think it's 13 or 14 weeks that it goes over. A new topic each week comes up. But ProHort, you have the flexibility of, yeah, you do it on your own time. And I think it's a longer time period that you have access to the actual online class.
Well, very good. You can, if you would, remind us of those three elements before you take your leave today. How about that?
Sure. We can talk. Yeah.
Excellent. In the meantime, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, that's why we're here. We'd love to help you out either by phone or by text. Mary would be glad to answer those lawn or garden questions for you at 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. What about... looking at dormant seeding. I knew we were going to get questions about that. We always do. And that's a good thing. People,
oh, yeah,
I think,
great.
They're more aware
it's
of that now. First of all, we always get new listeners. What is dormant seeding, and can we do that right now?
Yeah, so dormant seeding is actually putting out grass seed. Usually we think about really lawn seed when we're talking about dormant seeding. You can do this for native plants like wildflowers as well. But you put the seed out when it will be dormant. And we don't expect it, obviously, to germinate now. What you do is place the seed so that it's in place as the ground freezes and thaws. And in the springtime, as soon as it's warm enough, those seeds will germinate. So I know John Trappi has talked about putting the seed out when there's a little bit of snow, and then you can actually see the seed when you put it down. But yes, we do. The only thing you have to be careful of is the seed washing away or moving away. But if it's on a slope, it's nice to put some type of a mulch on. But often the snow will act as a mulch for us at this time of year. So you want to have, in the end, you really want to have good seed-soil contact. So if you have 2 feet of snow and you put the seed down, that's kind of a risk. I mean, you really don't know where that seed is going to end up. Hopefully, it will just melt and go down into the soil. But we like to have very little snow when you actually do the dormant seeding. But, you know, with this freezing and the thaw out that we have, some areas will be snow-free. And if you have an area that's snow-free, you could definitely dormant seed now in the dead of winter.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because in looking and mentioning the forecast, at least for a couple of days this week, like Christmas Eve day and Christmas Day itself, we could be at 40 or maybe 42.
Amazing.
So, yeah. So we may be seeing a lot of our lawns this coming
week.
That's
true.
Distinct possibility. So you can think about dormants. But I don't know. I guess the ground is frozen, so we don't have to worry about it being too squishy, right?
I think that it is. Yes, yeah. I think that it is. We had, freeze and thaw, but you can pretty much tell that. And
yeah,
for the most part, I think most of Minnesota is frozen ground. Yes.
Very good. Tell you what, let's invite our listeners, Mary, to join in on this conversation. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we would love to hear from you either by phone or by text. You know the number, 651-461-9226. We'll be back after the break here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. And if you're just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those lawn and garden questions today, either by phone or by text. So call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Mary, a bunch of texts just came in. We'll try to keep up as best we can. Here's the first one. I received the Bachmann's amaryllis bulb in a pot. When I got it, I watered it lightly since the soil was dry. It has not sprouted and no sign of growth. Should I wait or just toss it?
I think you should wait. Sometimes the amaryllis bulbs are really quite dormant. They've been stored at a cool temperature, and they can take a while to start growing. And even when they do start growing, we think that it's 6 to 8 weeks until they will bloom. So I would, and especially, I think it's, they said it came from Bachmann's, right?
Yes.
Yes, Bachmann's really has, they work, they really send out quality material. And so I would expect that would start to grow. The heat makes a difference. Cooler temperatures, near a cool window and so on, it will be slower. But if you put it in the sunlight where it's warm, that will really help it grow. So I would wait.
Haven't run into our friend Dale Bachmann in quite some time. Usually it's at the grocery store when I do. I hope Dale and his bride are doing well.
A great horticulturist. Oh, he can answer your questions as well, right?
Yes, another U of M product for sure.
Yeah.
Let's see. Good morning. Texter says, I listen every Saturday in from Mesa, Arizona. Oh, thank you. For the winter, that is. Texter says, I decided to try growing a tomato plant here, a beefsteak. I have an enlarged pot. It's growing like crazy, flowering, getting plenty of sun and water. How often should I fertilize it, and when can I expect tomatoes? Now, this is Mesa, Arizona.
Where the sun is out, yes. Well, fertilizing it, I would say, you know, you could do that once a week. Commercial growers use a regular fertilization program, you know, almost every day. But I would say once a week is a good time for fertilizing it. And it's in, I think it's in a container, this particular plant. So that does require a lot of water. So it's probably every day you're going to have to be watering it, but maybe once, maybe twice a week you could fertilize it. But yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, thanks for listening. I'm thinking here we are in it's almost the winter solstice coming up here.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I think
was
it tomorrow? I think, but nonetheless,
that's right. Yeah,
we're almost at the end. We're almost in a brand new year. And I'm thinking this time of year, we always talk with you and our other friends, your colleagues, about what to do this time of year. You started talking about that initially. What is there anything we can grow inside our homes this time of year, or at least prep something for – maybe I may be jumping the gun here, anxious for spring, but what, is there anything to do?
Well, mostly it's houseplant care right now. Things that are they're inside that are growing. You know, I'm a big citrus fan, so citrus actually blooms and flowers and produces in the winter. So, and I remember the year I went down to Bachmann's, their flagship store down on Lindale, and they had a room full of Meyer lemons. Now, Fred Meyer, no relation to me, discovered the Meyer lemon, and so his name is on it. But that is a plant that you could grow and get lemons on this time of year in the winter. So there's some amazing indoor plants that you can actually grow. The other thing is, of course, seed catalogs are coming in. People are thinking about, gosh, what should I be growing for my vegetable garden, and thinking about ordering those seeds, because some seeds do sell out, especially hybrids and new kinds of tomatoes and so on that are very popular. The other thing is to outside, you can inspect trees, like your fruit trees, for animal damage. So if you haven't put hardware cloth or wire around the trunks of your fruit trees. That is a prime target for food for rabbits. And so protecting your fruit trees, or at least examining your fruit trees and seeing what's happening out there. There are other shrubs that rabbits will eat as well, depending on how deep the snow is or how desperate they are for food. So anything that's exposed and not covered with snow outside is something to think about protecting or watching. You know, with the snow, you can really see where the animal tracks are and where runways are for squirrels or rabbits, etc. So inspecting your plants outside for wildlife damage, that's a good thing to do.
And you mentioned one thing, hardware cloth. Is there a certain material like hardware cloth that's better than something else? Plus, here we are going to be getting some melting now. Should you always kind of make that protection higher than shorter because of the rabbits can get on top of the snow, right?
Exactly. They can get on top of the snow, and we often see that where they can reach up and then get damaged. So, yeah, so I like to put a nice 3 feet or so ring of hardware cloth. So that hardware cloth is like chicken wire, which is actually quite pliable. So that's what's good about it. You can easily bend it, and it has small holes in it, so a rabbit can't get through it and so on. So, and it's easy to bend and make that round circle to put around the trunk of the tree.
And don't forget gloves. I've learned that the hard way.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And so was it Mary or somebody else, not Mary, but Teresa or Julie maybe, wear long sleeves too.
That's right. Yeah.
Here's a text. Hi, Mary. I'm a retired master gardener down here in southeast Minnesota. I am looking for smaller shade tree ideas for a public green space we are creating in our downtown between two old historical buildings, probably about three trees, gets full sun all day and during the summer. Thank you. I wonder if that's a good candidate for the U of M website.
Yes, great idea to go look on the website. Julie Weisenhorn has done so much work with her plant elements of design there's a huge database in there. There are a lot of small trees that are nice. One that's not planted very often is the hawthorn. Even though it does have thorns on, it's a beautiful tree that has flowers and then fruit. And, of course, many people plant crabapples. If you're going to plant a crabapple, you really need to look at the disease-resistant ones, and we have a list of those on the Extension website at extension.umn.edu. The disease-resistant crabapples, there are many new ones that don't drop their leaves with apple scab later in the year. Serviceberry is a native small tree. Serviceberry comes as a shrub form or a small tree, and that's a beautiful one that birds like as well. So in the wintertime or in the spring, the flowers are on it, but in the winter, it does have berries on it that birds like as well. There's some native viburnums, which actually the Lantana viburnum is really more of a small tree, or it's a very large shrub that you can use. So native plants will provide food for wildlife, for birds, which is great as well. But yes, you can look on the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and then look for that plant elements of design. And that's a database where you can put in the size of tree you want or plant, and it will give you lots of choices.
Mary, a listener heard us talking about dormant seeding, and I'm looking at a text that says, how does dormant seeding intersect with putting down a lawn pre-emergent fertilizer in the spring? Good question.
Oh, yes. So, yeah, thanks for bringing this up. So the pre-emergence chemicals kill seedlings that usually it's the weeds that we want to get rid of, but they will make a film with a chemical film on the soil that kills any germinating seed. So, yes, you can't use a pre-emergence chemical and expect good grass seed to come up there as well. So it's one or the other. you do dormant seeding and get the seed to come up, and then once it's mature, you can treat weeds if they came up as well, or you use a pre-emergent and all germinating seed is killed. So, yeah, you can't use those two together.
Very good. Thanks for that question. Yeah. Mary, we need to take a break for that forecast. We'll have more Lawn and Garden Talk when we come back. If you have a question, any kind of a Lawn and Garden question for Mary Meyer, please call us or text us, 651-461-9226. The weather is straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long back with Mary Meyer from the U of M, answering those lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. Mary, before we grab a phone call and other text messages, let's talk a little bit about the arboretum. No matter what time of year, and this is no different. It's a special time of year, isn't it, there at the Arb?
Yes, there's so many things to do. And I have to say today, December 20th, now this is the final day for the Apple House Holiday Boutique to be open. So I was out there just a few days ago and I bought more apples. I bought keepsake and snow sweet apples. They also had, it's 2-for-1, buy a bag of apples, get a second for free.
Ooh.
For apples and winter squash. So they had a lot of squash, a lot of apples left, but they also have this holiday boutique, which is a lot of holiday items, and many of those items were on sale. But today is the final day for that at the Apple House. But then, of course, Winter Lights is going on, and this is the big light festival with reserve tickets and evening lighted trails that you can walk. You can get s'mores. You can see that giant, huge apple that you can walk into, and it's just beautiful outside. Inside this year, there are many decorated Christmas trees in different themes that are decorated by people from really throughout the state. Some of the historical societies from other counties have done one. The Minneapolis Parks did a beautiful tree on, Horticulture for 100 Years, I think is the name of theirs. So some beautiful trees to see inside. We have a new cafe, the Rootstock at the Arboretum. So delicious food there as well. So winter music series. So lots of things to check out at the Arb. Everything is listed on the website as well for that.
And a great time, I'm thinking this time of year, we mention this often, I know, but with family and friends coming in, you're thinking, gee,
yes.
Who's got the idea? What do we do now? Let's bring our friends and family and bring the whole
Arboretum.
Family. Kids love it too. So don't hesitate about this. It's a great place. Any time of the year is the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. Back to the phones we go, Mary. Ed checking in from Worthington this morning. Thanks for waiting, Ed. What is your question, please?
Want you to inform me about a snake plant. From the little I know is that it puts out oxygen and cleans up the air in your home environment.
Snake plant.
Yeah, snake plant. So this is Sansevieria. Well, maybe the name's changed. I don't know. That's what I still call it. This is a plant. Actually, I have one from my grandmother, Ed, which has been in our family for a long time. This is a notoriously easy plant to grow. It doesn't need much light. It's not picky about forgetting to water it, but it doesn't like to be overwatered. And it doesn't like to stand in water. So it needs a container that drains water out of the bottom. And depending on how big it is, maybe it's only once a week, every 2 weeks that you actually water it. But yes, like all plants, it puts out oxygen, it takes in CO2, and it's good for cleaning the air. And kind of likes to be crowded in a pot, so you don't have to worry about repotting it. So I would say a snake plant is one of the easiest indoor plants you could grow.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah.
Mary, I'm looking at a text. I'm not sure if you can put a number and a figure on it, but I think it's a good question. The listener says, what percent do you think of dormant seeding actually survives and sprouts?
Oh, I think a lot. I would say, you know, depending on the conditions, if it's a slope, we always have this risk of erosion. But if you use a mulch or some type of a fabric, a straw mat or something, then that will help it to actually stick there. Well, I don't think we would be recommending this at the university if it didn't work pretty well. So I've got to say the upwards of, I'd say 70% probably could germinate if you have a level site. I would say you're going to have 70%. I don't know if anybody's done any real work on that.
Yeah,
that's a interesting. Good question, when, though, the next time John is on, ask him again.
Maybe he can start a project for the coming season.
Yeah, seeds, right?
Speaking of seed, Demary, a lot of questions, we get this a lot, is the difference in quality seed.
Yes.
Most definitely.
This goes across the board for everything, and especially true for lawn seed. There's, so many different types of grasses, annual and perennial grasses, and then the quality of the seed, the age of the seed, how much it's been cleaned, how pure it is, what's the weed seed count. So years ago, people really knew this was an issue. So we actually have laws to regulate this. And I think certainly in Minnesota, there's state laws for this. So what's actually listed on the label, it has to be listed on purity, germination. Sometimes you'll actually see the date there of the seed. And of course, what kind of seed is it and what percent of the different kinds are in there. So you really need to read the label closely. And the turf scientists will always talk about the best seed is expensive seed. And the cheaper seed, the low cost seed, is not going to germinate. Either it won't germinate, or if it does germinate, it will die quickly. So it's often an annual grass, and that's not really what you want. Of course, you want a perennial. So quality seed, really buying it from a quality retailer is the way to go.
Oh, yes, I totally agree. And I know, and we're so fortunate. I've mentioned this in the past. We're really fortunate around here to have some real quality garden centers. There's quality. I have had very good luck, if you're going to pin me down to where I found good grass seed, both Bachmann's and Girton's, I've had really good luck with seeds from
with
those
their seed. Yes, so that you're right. We have really wonderful quality. Teddy, I don't know if you know this. I don't know how many people know this. So 2031, how many years is 2031 away? There's going to be a gigantic horticulture expo, an international horticulture expo here in Minnesota. It's going to be in Dakota County. It's going to cover a couple hundred acres. And we're just starting to work on this now. The International Horticulture Expo hasn't been held in the United States, and now it's going to be in Minnesota. So, I mean, part of the reason here is we are centrally located. We have a wonderful airport, but we have wonderful horticulture businesses. We have Bailey's and Bachmann's, Girton's. We've got people who've been in the industry for hundreds of years. And so, 2031.
Wow, what time of year is that going to happen?
It's going to be over several months.
Oh.
Yeah.
5-6 years from now.
Yeah, 5 or 6 years from now. So the planning has started for this. You can look it up online. There's a website. It's going to involve health. It's going to involve climate and horticulture growing, et cetera. Yeah.
Well, bravo to us. That's great.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm looking, Mary, at, by the way, if you're just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those lawn and garden questions for you today. Here's another one. I have a lilac bush which appears dead after very few leaves and no blooming last year. Is there a way to restore its health, or is it dead? If dead, how do I discard it?
Oh, lilacs have been under a great deal of stress in the last few years, I think due to hotter conditions, drier, erratic conditions. Our tough lilacs have really suffered. There are a couple of leaf spot diseases, fungal diseases that are bothering lilacs now. And so that has taken a toll along with some really dry and extremely hot conditions. We have some information about lilac diseases at the extension.umn.edu website. But I would say I would wait until the spring. And you know, the other thing is some lilacs will rejuvenate totally from the base. So you could always cut the whole thing down to the base, see if it grows back. If it doesn't, just plant another plant nearby it. I don't worry too much about digging up roots of plants if something dies. I just plant something else nearby it.
All right. Very good. A listener sends this via text. My amaryllis was outside all summer and grew to lovely leaves. I brought it in, but it still has two healthy leaves. How do I get it to go to sleep so it will regroup and bloom again?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm looking at my amaryllis. It's got about five leaves, but it doesn't have any blooms on it. You put it in a dormant place. You put it in your basement in a dark place where it's cool, and that will induce it to go to dormancy. But the thing is, dormancy isn't required for bloom. So some years, these plants will just grow year-round and bloom again if they have enough stored energy. So if it didn't have enough stored energy and the bulb is not big enough, it really won't bloom again. So I'm going to give mine a couple more weeks. Oh, maybe I'll go through the end of January. And if I don't see any blooms on it, I think I'm going to throw it away because it's just too small. It doesn't have enough food reserves to bloom. So you can wait a while longer and see if it does bloom, but it doesn't require the dormancy to bloom.
All right, very good. Another text before we take a quick break says this: our magnolia tree will be removed because of scale. Can we plant in the same place?
Yes, you can. I had that same experience. I gave up treating the scale on the magnolia. I could not get ahead of it. And that's really sad. Magnolia is such a beautiful, one of my favorite plants. But yes, you can plant something else. Plant a viburnum or plant a serviceberry, plant a hawthorn, plant something that's really totally different than the magnolia. The scale insect is really very devastating on that. So yes, but you can plant something else right beside it.
Very good. All right, let's take this quick break. Be back on the other side with more of your lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, our home improvement show with Andy Lind is coming along next hour. So if you have any kind of a home improvement question, by all means, save it for next hour. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those lawn and garden questions for us today. 651-461-9226 for either a phone call or a text, whichever is easier. Mary, here's another text for you. I know we have a bunch. Let's see how many folks we can help. A number of my oak trees, texter says, have long vertical cracks in the trunks. What causes these cracks to form, and will they hurt the tree?
Well, it sounds like this might be a young tree, and that sometimes are growth cracks as plants grow quickly or they take up a lot of water. All of a sudden, they have a lot of water. They can grow quickly. Normally, they will take care of that themselves, and as they grow, the cracks will be less conspicuous, and the bark will harden, and they will be okay. If you're really concerned about it, or you think, you can always call an arborist and have an arborist come out and look and check that as well. You can take a picture of that, and you can send it to Ask a Master Gardener, which is our online extension answering service for garden questions as well. But I think that's probably normal.
Okay. A listener heard us talking about the Meyer lemon tree. And he or she wants to know, where do you get the Meyer lemon tree that can grow indoors? Well, I tried that several years ago, and for a while it really worked. I don't know what I did to it, but another good garden center will have it, right?
Yes. Yes, I've seen them, most of them at Bachman's, but many, many garden centers have Meyer lemons. They tend to be a smaller plant but they will produce lemons. I have two Meyer lemons. I think I have six lemons on them right now. So they are good producer. You can put them outside in the summertime as well. You can get them mail order also, but you know that's really a risk because they have to come in really cold conditions now. So these days ahead where it's going to be 40, that's a good day to move a plant from a garden center into your house, right?
That's a good point. Absolutely. I tell you what, let's grab a phone call. Mary, Barbara, checking in from New Brighton this morning, I believe. Hi, Barbara. Good morning. What is your question for Mary?
Hi, Danny and Julie. Yes, I'm fine. Thank you. I have a question. My husband planted a tamarack tree or a larch tree, and it was only a couple years old, and then the deer marked it.
Bummer.
So we've still got it, and my husband has now put a fence around it, and it looks like it has a pretty good leader, but then it looks like it has a little shorter one to the side. Can he cut that and the tree will do well, or is it too late?
Well, you know, I wouldn't, Barbara, I wouldn't worry about doing any pruning on it. What I would be concerned about is protecting it from the deer or browsing or animals. The thing about the larch is that's the conifer that loses its needles. So in the winter, it doesn't have any green leaves on it, any needles. And so it's easy to lose it. I mean, it's very inconspicuous because it looks just like a little stick there. So I would protect it as you have done, like with chicken wire or something around it, and mark it so you know where it is. Tamarack's a wonderful tree to plant, one of our natives, and it's great especially for moister soil conditions. But good for you in planting that. I think protection is the main thing to do. After a few years, you might consider pruning it, but I would just let it get established first.
Mary, on a previous show, I know we chatted briefly about a new apple. I'm looking at a listener's text that's crossed with a Honeycrisp and something, and I can't for the life of me remember.
Yeah, that's right. There are two or three new apples. I did read about them recently, and they have come out from the U. I'm looking to see if I can find that. Kudos is the one that Kudos. Yeah, it's a cross between Honeycrisp and Zestar, which is one of the ones that I have. There's also, what is the new one? It's something, First Kiss. Is that it? There are a couple of really brand new ones that just came out.
First Kiss, I think, has been out.
Oh, First Kiss, that's right. That's Rave is First Kiss. But there is another one. Hmm. Oh, gosh. Now I'm gonna have to look that up till I find it.
But Kudos. That was the one that was mentioned on the show, I believe. Kudos. Yeah.
Well, Kudos. Good. That's
Thank
right.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Let's see. We're a couple of minutes ago on the show here. Good morning. Texter says, I have two peace lilies, both blooming, but the white part of the flower turning brown. Do you think it's because they're in a cooler room? Love the show. Thanks very much. What do you think about that situation?
You know, I think that just might be the end of that particular flower. Because once they flower and they're white, and then, yes, they do turn brown as they're starting to die. So if your peace lily has flowered, that's a good sign. That's a sign that it's in an area that's well enough, bright light, good conditions to produce a flower. But as it gets older, it's just naturally turns brown. So I would cut the brown flower off, and then hopefully more will come.
Okay, very good. Is there a good way, Texter says, to efficiently spread wild milkweed in the area I'd like milkweed?
Yes, so I would say just spreading the seed. Now, the seed is very fluffy, so, it's difficult. It blows in the wind. But the fluff part, if you can remove that and the little brown seed that's at the end, then yes. So I would say look for collecting the seed. Probably that's about in the middle of the summer when the seed will be coming out of those milkweed pods, collecting the seed and then just distributing it with good seed-soil contact where you'd like it to grow.
Listeners are checking in here with Apple names. Triumph, okay, is that one?
The Triumph is one. Okay, the newest one is called Big Flirt.
Big Flirt.
Big Flirt. I know, I know. And this is new. The U has got a new way of licensing smaller growers so that they can have the opportunity to grow apples. And, yeah, one of them they're going to do that with is Big Flirt. yeah, so this information really just came out in, I think it's like November. It's really new.
And it takes, so, I'm still astounded how many years it takes to produce an apple.
Yes, it still does. It has advanced a lot with gene technology of looking at the genes in faster ways. But it still does take a long time to grow them out and see how they produce and consistently. Then, it still takes quite a while.
A little less than 2 minutes to go, Mary, and I wanted to mention, have you mentioned what you mentioned at the top of the show, some things to do during these winter months?
Yeah, so educational opportunities. So if you hear us talk so much about the Master Gardener program, wonderful program that we have thousands of volunteers working in that, if you're interested in taking that class but don't want to volunteer, you can do that through ProHort. Now through January 9th, you can sign up for that. It's an online class, and you sign up through the Arboretum website, so arboretum.umn.edu. You can find ProHort information there. And then the Horticulture Society, northerngardener.org, has their sign-ups now until January 14th for Garden in a Box. So this is a raised bed that you can get for free. And the priority goes to community groups, organizations, schools, etc. So not for one individual, but for a group, a homeowner association, or a group of neighbors to get together that want to have the resources of a raised bed, along with the education that comes from the Horticulture Society. That sign up is for January 14th, and that's at northerngardener.org for their Garden in a Box. And then if you'd like to have a community garden in the city of Plymouth where I live, the community garden signups start in January. And wherever your community is, you might have a community garden that you could sign up for. Oh, so look great. Through your city website.
Excellent. Mary, we're just about out of time. I want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I know we'll be talking a couple of weeks down the road or so.
We will, Denny. Always a pleasure. Wonderful to talk gardening, even with the snow on the ground.
But melting soon.
But thank melting you, Mary. Soon. That's right. My pleasure. We'll thank you, Denny.
Talk soon. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Head to Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.